Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game is 6-1-5 day, presented by Social Furniture. Social Furniture, located in West Nashville. We are here at the Fordyce Center Bellevue. Come by and check out a sectional couch where you can register to win a recliner. We are raising money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Donate to the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee by texting FUTURE to Caroline.
7-6-2.
No, wrong one.
70-70-70-70. 70-70-70-70.
We do a silent auction. Text PREDS to 76278, and that auction ends at 6:15 today. And all of those proceeds go right to the Boys and Girls Clubs. Again, Pecorine and Philip Forsberg signed jerseys, Predators team signed stick, signed Titans photos, signed Tim Corbin, Vandy baseball memorabilia, and a signed Mookie Betts baseball. The 4 o'clock hour of 615 Day is presented by Brian's Motorsports. Brian's Motorsports BMS Off-Road has it all, from lift kits to wheels, tires, auto systems, video, window tinting, and more, online at briansmotorsports.com. We dream, we design, we build. By the way, I need to talk to them since they do tires. I'm not much of like a do-your-own-tire kind of guy.
Does anyone do their own tires?
Well, I think I have a nail in my tire, so I need someone to get nail out of my tower and then to tire and then to patch it up and whatever. You go around, it's like, yeah, we think we can get you in on maybe Saturday. Like, it's Tuesday today.
Like, in my tire. Right. And I, like, drive places.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. And I'm not rich enough to have two cars. I mean, I'm not rich,
one
period.
Day.
But I'm not rich enough to have two cars.
One day.
Like, let's be real. So, anywho. So, maybe I need to talk to Brian's Motorsports. Anywho, speaking of 615 Day and charity, did you see that Pecorine won the King Clancy Memorial Trophy?
I did see that.
And I did promise that if he won that, I would make a donation to the Predators 365 Fund, and I plan on doing that, and I encourage everybody else to do that as well, on top of the Boys and Girls Club or whatever you'd like. However, Pecorine deserved that award. And I don't know exactly how they go about giving out that award or who votes on it. I mean, P.K. Subban was up for the award. He ended up not getting it. P.K.'s charity efforts are well known. It's like P.K. did a lot of things that made him kind of cocky or people didn't like or rub people the wrong way. And then it was like, yeah, well, P.K. Subban's donated $10 million to the Children's Hospital. Well, you know, P.K., you can't say he's a bad guy. Pecorine has done so much in this city for so many people. He's done it for Best Buddies, the 365 Fund, obviously for all of the sick kids with pediatric cancer. And there's a lot of things he's done that you don't know about, too, that he's been a big part of. And I was glad that Pekka won it. And last night, Pekka had a little press conference, media availability about it. And I was thinking this today. And this is probably the unpopular opinion. And I don't know what he's going to do, and I don't know what he wants to do. I know the Predators want him back. David Poile has said as much, but people I've talked to inside the organization are like, yeah, we really, really hope Pekka comes back. Isn't this the perfect way to go out? Like, I know this is the unpopular opinion, and I'm not trying to be Johnny, you know, contrarian here. But isn't this the way to go out? Like, we think about all these guys in sports that just never hang it up. And it's like, man, it doesn't really tarnish their legacy.
No.
But at the same time, it's like, when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl in his last game and he was barely a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore, isn't that the time to go? It was like they asked him on the field after the Super Bowl, Peyton, is this your last game? Oh, I don't know. I have to think about it. Of course it's his last game. Like Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, it's time, Ben. It's time to hang it up. Did Philip Rivers really need to go to Indianapolis? I mean, at some point, it's time. And I'm not saying it's time for Pekka. I mean, I think he's still got a little bit left in there. Certainly don't think he's got a lot left in there. No, he's got a little bit left in there. But what's one more season for the Predators going to do for Pecorine? The only option I think he's got is to go somewhere else in the National Hockey League. I mean, he can go to Finland or whatever, but that's just kind of like, hey, I'm going to go home and go play. Okay. But what's one more season going to do for him as a backup? Going to play like once every four games. And let's not kid ourselves. I will be stunned if this Predators team is a legitimate contender next season for a Stanley Cup. And I'm not trying to complain about the Predators. I'm not trying to yell or scream, or I'm not trying to. But again, I'm just trying to keep it real. I mean, contending, not can they make the playoffs next year? Not can they do better than they did this past year? I mean, that's a different discussion. But again, contending for the Cup. Watch Vegas last night. Watch Vegas. And here's why the Vegas series is probably a good one. Because you got one team that is there, and you got another team that belongs there. Vegas belongs there. Montreal doesn't. Look at the size of Vegas. Watch Tampa Bay. And remember that Tampa Bay dispatched of Carolina, who you lost to in six games. They dispatched them in five, and it was pretty convincing. UC Saros is going to be the starter here next year. There's a lot of things up in the air. Again, I don't know what the long-term answers for the Predators are. Sometimes I get discouraged thinking about it. But for Pekka, he goes out with a shutout in his final game, if this is his final game. That's a big step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Gets that victory lap skate off at, you know, Bridgestone Arena for what wasn't a packed house but was a lot of people, and everybody got up and clapped and cheered a hero's goodbye. Then he wins the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, which basically is who's the best person in the NHL, and he won that award. Isn't that the way to go out? Like, again, I'm not here to write the script. We'd all love to be John Elway. We'd all love to retire at the top of our game, winning the Super Bowl, knowing that we really didn't have much left in the tank. But we're not John Elway. And, again, I think back to this, and I'm like, I don't think he's got starting. Like, I think we saw during the season when Saros got hurt and he had to play every night, like, he'd have a good game, and then he'd have a bad game. Because I just think physically he can't play at the same level that a starting goalie's played at, so he's not a starter anymore. You're going to come here, ride the bench. Saros is going to start. He's going to play once every fourth or fifth night. And what, losing the first round and not playing it? I mean, again, I'm not telling Pekka to retire. I'm not. I'm just saying if I were him, I'd have a hard time having the end be what it was and that not being kind of my final moments in hockey. Like, that's, you know, Mike Fisher, and I don't know how Mike Fisher feels about this, and he won a President's Trophy coming back, but, I mean, Mike Fisher, team captain, goes to the Stanley Cup final, retires, and then comes back. And he's a third-line player on a team that was pretty good, but then they got, I mean, he's looking for the storybook ending, and I get it, and he didn't win the cup, and I understand that. But, like, can you do better than Pekka has for the ending? You're the most popular hockey player in the history of that town. I mean, at that point, you get that goodbye, you get that great game at the end, that celebration of you on a night that was perfect. There was nothing to play for on either side. It was Pekka's night. He played great. You won the game. He got basically carried off on people's shoulders the hockey way. And now he's voted best person in the NHL, which essentially is what this award is to me. I'm not trying. I know everybody wants him back. And there's a part of me that wants him back, too. You know, it's more fun when he's on the team. And it's better than Jonathan Bernier or James Reimer or Ryan Miller, who, by the way, I think is retiring. It's better than all those backups. But, like, what is there, like, what else is there to do? He's not winning the cup as a starter here. So, like, what else is there to do?
I totally see your point, and I think that if this were any other season unaffected by COVID where he could kind of have his goodbye tour, then yes. This year would be a great way to end it, go out on a high note. You just won this wonderful award that not only rewards your hockey ability, but also your philanthropic efforts and you as a person. But I think that Pekka wants one last go around. That's normal. We're Bridgestone.
How do you know
that?
But again, he's not going to be the starter.
But he wasn't the starter this past year either.
But that's not what he was signed to be on that team.
But I think no matter when he retires, let's say he does decide to retire next year following the final season where he can have a packed Blake Stone and travel to all of these different arenas in front of packed
He is not a retiring tour guy.
But he will always look back on those years where he did win the Vezina, the year that he did win the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, the years that the Predators did make long runs in the playoffs. He will always have those memories and always look back on those fondly. Even if he does end on a year where he starts once every 5-6 games, they may not make it to the playoffs, and if they do, they may not make it past the first round. He will always have those memories, and no matter when he retires, those aren't going away.
I know, but for him to sit the bench so that everybody around, so that they can be like, welcome to Montreal, Beyond the New, whatever, here's Pecorino, everybody. Well, all right, now this one a bench.
Well, I don't think he's doing it for applause. I think he's doing it for himself.
See, I don't think he, this is me. I wouldn't come back. I wouldn't. But that's just me. I'm not telling him what to do. He can do what he does. But again, the attention thing, that's not me.
I don't think he's doing it for attention, but
he's not that.
I think if I dedicated my life to something and I am deciding to end that thing that I've dedicated my life to,
you want
to
spend a whole offseason working your tail off to play once every 5 nights?
Well, and if that's what I'm dedicating my life to.
If I were him, and this is just me, if I were him, I'd go somewhere else before I come back here.
I don't think he would do that.
I don't know what he would do.
I don't think that he's a attention-seeking guy, and I also don't think he's the kind of guy that would be like, you know what, we're not going to start me, then I'm going to leave.
Why not? Guys want to play.
Well, he didn't play this past season.
Right, but he didn't have a choice. He's in a contract.
I don't think that he... I don't
if
think
he signs with the Washington Capitals, if he signs with the Washington Capitals today, he's a starting goalie. So he's a starting goalie on a team with Alexander Ovechkin.
I mean, he has every right to do whatever he wants to do. I
wouldn't put myself through what he would put himself through to go be the backup when I can go start in the league. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the headlines with Caroline Stillman and Company. We are live from, again, the Homestone Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. 615 Day is presented by Social Furniture, located in West Nashville. Come on by and check out a sectional couch at the Ford Ice Center here in Bellevue, where we are, and you can register to win that recliner. Also, this hour of the program on So Many Companies, presented by Brian's Motorsports. Brian's Motorsports BMS Off-Road has it all, from lift kits to wheels, tires, audio systems, video, window tinting, and more, online at briansmotorsports.com. We dream, we design, we build. So Many Companies, ESPN 1025. Day is presented by Social Furniture, located in West Nashville. We are live at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. This hour of the program presented by Brian's Motorsports. Brian's Motorsports Off-Road has it all, from lift kits to wheels, tires, audio systems, video, window tinting, and more, online at briansmotorsports.com. We dream, we design, we build. I saw someone text into the text line, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, who said, well, if Pekka wants to do whatever he wants to do, let him do it. And I said, and when I saw that, I go, okay, what if he wants to sign with the Chicago Blackhawks? Now how do you feel?
I'm sure the tune would be much different.
Okay, time now for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
All right, let me hear it.
A few updates from around the league's minicamp. So two cornerbacks, both in the AFC East, have not reported to minicamp. Cornerback for the Patriots, Stephon Gilmore, was a no-show at mandatory minicamp today. He has not attended any off-season workouts. It's a contract thing. He's been making around $4.5 million in each of his four seasons in Foxborough so far. He would be making $7.5 million this year, according to his contract. He's in the final season of his contract, so he's been wanting to adjust that and shift that.
Well, he's been making more than $4.5 million.
$14.5 million.
Okay, yeah.
$14.5 million a year in each of his four seasons, and this season in his final year of his contract would be making $7.5 million. And he's not very happy about that. Also, Miami head coach Brian Flores said that he is unsure if corner Xavien Howard would show up for mandatory minicamp. It's also a contract situation. And 2020 had 50 tackles and 10 interceptions. He was a huge contribution to Miami's defense last year. So, interesting to follow that.
So, here's my theory on it. Life's a two-way street now. And if you can cut me because I'm not playing well enough, then if I'm playing well enough and I want a new contract, you got to give me a new contract, or I'm going to do what's in my power and I'll miss mandatory minicamp. The NFL is a two-way street. It is uncomfortable. But ultimately, I don't think these guys are going to miss real checks. So they're not at minicamp. I'd be stunned if they're not at training camp, because now those fines are unforgivable and they add up quickly.
Another not shocking no-show. Mandatory minicamp.
Aaron Rodgers.
Sure. So he owes the Packers $500,000 from his contract workout bonus that he did not fulfill, and he would also owe the Packers around 93 grand for missing mandatory minicamp. So developments in the Aaron Rodgers saga, and I am over it.
I wonder if Aaron is looking for an exit strategy now. Like, how do I? And when I say exit strategy, I mean exit from all the drama he's created.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do I, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, how do I go back to playing in Green Bay and not have egg on my face and look like I completely and totally caved?
Well, I mean, the Packers have said, we want him back. So I think all it would really take is for Aaron Rodgers to be like, hey, guys, I'm coming back.
No, because that looks like he caved. So there has to be something to where Aaron can act like, see, this is all I wanted, and this is what they gave me. They are not going to give him what he wants, and he knows he's not going to get what he wants, and they want him to play quarterback. So how does he do this? How do they come to an agreement to where it looks like, no, Aaron's not caving, because Aaron is too prideful. He will suck it up and give back the $40 million if you don't make some sort of concession that at least makes it look like Aaron can hold it up and say, I didn't completely and totally lose.
But I also think that's kind of a check to his ego if he has to pay them back $40 million. That's $40 million of his money. I think a guy with ego that big isn't going to cave to a team and say, okay, I'll give you back $40 million. That's also...
I think it is. I think that's the whole, like, you can't buy me off. So what? Take your money. I'm rich.
I guess.
I mean, you know why they call it, you know, blank you money?
Right.
Because once you have that kind of money,
you can say blank you.
You can say blank you. And that's what this is. Aaron can say goodbye to $40 million and be fine. I mean, I wouldn't say goodbye to $40 million even if I was Aaron, but he can. So now Green Bay has to figure out, okay, what can we do to assuage Aaron in order to make this look like Aaron gets something out of all of this tantrum that he's thrown, when in reality, we've won.
He also said today, and there was an interview for that golf tournament with Bryson DeChambeau and Tom Brady, and he was like, yeah, you know, the situation I'm in right now, my offseason's been great because I can be an NFL player and not show up anywhere. So if he wants to squash the drama, I don't think he's doing a very good job of it.
Yeah, again, he's just looking, again, it's when you're looking for an exit strategy, when you just want out of the negotiation, you're not going to go on and say, like, yeah, that's looking bad for me this summer. I just want to do this with my ego at least as bruised lightly as possible. That's probably how Aaron's approaching it. What's next?
So CBS is looking for a replacement for longtime NFL broadcaster Rich Gannon. They did not renew his contract in the 2020 season, but now they're looking to fill that hole. So Alex Smith, newly retired Washington football team quarterback, just recently held an audition with CBS, also had an audition with Fox in meetings with NFL Network and ESPN. CBS is also considering ESPN's Mark Sanchez and former Jet and butt fumbler, college football analyst Joey Galloway, and former Cowboys linebacker Sean Lee. So with all of the Titan CBS games and just, you know, CBS,
they
NFL
certainly will
general,
be on the Greg Gumbel and whoever is with Greg Gumbel game.
Greg Gumbel
a lot.
And Alex Smith game.
They will be on that a lot. I mean, I think the first game of the year this year against Arizona is a Greg Gumbel game. I mean, not that it's been set, but I'm assuming it's Greg Gumbel. I don't know who would be the best of those. I would say CBS needs to start developing its bench because they let Dan Fouts go, but at least they had an option. They signed Charles Davis. They let Rich Gannon go, and they don't have an option. They don't know who's going to be behind it. You start doing that, You turn into a team on the kicking carousel or the Colts on the quarterback carousel or ESPN on the Monday Night Football carousel, and I wouldn't want to be on that. I would say this. Mike Golic Sr.
Oh, that would be a wonderful addition.
I would go get Mike Golic Sr.
Wonderful addition.
Because I think people like Mike Golic Sr., and we know Mike Golic knows football. He played the game. He's called games before. He's got a name. Like, I would go get Mike Golic Sr., or I would move Phil Sims if Phil Sims wanted to leave the pregame show, and I'd move Phil Sims back into the booth, though I don't think Phil Sims would do it. But I keep saying every time these jobs come, ESPN cannot find a good color commentator for Monday Night Football. I'm like, Mike Golic Sr. Those are headlines with Caroline. Trevor Maddich coming up next. Now, I'm against the 12-team playoff, and so was Trevor last week. But this was before it became somewhat official. It's not official, but before it became somewhat official. I want to know if Trevor thinks, if Trevor believes that 12 teams is as bad as we thought last week. And there's one coach who maybe convinces me otherwise. I'm still not sure about it. That's next here on Stillman & Company. This hour of 615 Day is presented by Brian Motorsports. BMS Off-Road has it all from lift kits to wheels, tires, audio systems, video, window tinting, and more online at briansmotorsports.com. We dream, we design, we build. Stillman & Company, Trevor Maddich next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving at 615 Day, where we are raising money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Again, if you want to make a donation, text FUTURE to 707070. Silent Auction, still rocking and rolling. Text PREDS to 76278. So Trevor Maddich was on our show on Tuesday, and he said he's against the idea of a 12-team playoff. Then on Wednesday, we heard, or Thursday, or whenever it was, we heard the idea of a 12-team playoff. I lost my mind about it, especially finding out that Indiana would play Cincinnati. Now, we live in a society where everybody has their opinion, and the second that you have your opinion and somebody disagrees with it, you think that person's dumb or that person's stupid or whatever. I call it the cable news theory, where no matter what evidence you hear, whatever you believe to begin with is what you're always going to believe. Jamie Chatwell, the head coach at Coastal Carolina, said the reason he likes the idea of a 12-team playoff is because he can look recruits in the eye and say, hey, if we take care of our business, we have a shot to win the championship. That does kind of weigh on my anti-12-team playoff feel, but I still hate it. Trevor Maddich joins us now, ESPN college football analyst, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trev, let's start with that. Have you changed your mind at all? Last week, you were against a 12-team playoff. Bill Hancock tries to say that he's all about it. Greg Sankey says he's all about it. What do you make of it?
Not at all. I am between an 18 playoff, Jared, and a 12-team playoff. I am strongly in favor of 8, not 12. But between 4 and 12, I'm strongly in favor of 12. I think 4 has done a lot of damage to college football in a lot of different ways. We have talked a lot about the damage it does to the value of conference championship races. But there are other things that are damaging as well that I think were unintended consequences, damaging in recruiting, damaging in alienating fan bases because of the way that broadcasters talk about the playoff as the season goes on. And that only revolves around a very few teams if it's only 4. A lot of things about the 4-team playoff have proven to be detrimental, except as it's stepping stone from the BCS to a larger playoff. So if it's between 12 and 4, give me 12 all day long.
Why is 4 so bad?
4 is bad for a couple of reasons. One is that it makes conference championship races irrelevant. The committee spokespeople over the years have said that a conference championship win is nothing more to them than a tiebreaker at the end of the process if they need it to separate teams otherwise. In other words, yeah, it's important to win your conference championship, but it's not that big of a deal, right? Now, we've seen conference champions be left out in favor of somebody that they beat who the committee ranked higher at the end of the season. That's bad for college football. It alienates fan bases. I mean, when you look at the Pac-12, for example, in 2018 and 2019, the team that eventually won the Pac-12, it was Washington and then Oregon, lost to Auburn in the season opener. And that put the Pac-12 pretty much out of the playoff conversation for the rest of the season. People cast an eye over there once in a while, but the national conversation was about other folks. And so that alienates entire regions. Another thing that the 14 playoff is bad about is that because college football is seen through the lens of the playoff, as the season goes on, there's a very narrow subset of teams that are getting talked about on the national shows. So it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and maybe two or three possible teams that could make it. Everybody else is pretty much off the radar, or they're just also rans, and that's also not good for college football. I think expanding the playoff, in this case to 12, keeps conversations at the national level going on all over the country, and it makes more games relevant to entering the playoff late in the season than a 14 playoff could allow.
I just, again, I hate the idea that we don't have common sense anymore in sports. And I look at an 18 playoff, I'm with you, an 18 playoff makes sense to me. I think a 12-team playoff is a total cash grab. And I'm sorry, but this is college football. And I've seen what everything being about the money has done to college basketball. And I watch college softball, Trevor, and I think that's the most fun college sport to watch right now. The games are entertaining. The teams are all pretty decent. The ladies play their butts off. I mean, I am a college softball fan. I am addicted to that Women's College World Series. I don't care about college basketball anymore. Those programs are crooked. Those coaches are buying players. Those kids don't want to be there. I mean, this 12-team playoff thing, Trevor, it's a total cash grab, and that's fine. But it's college football, and I think ultimately it hurts the brand, but all those commissioners want to get up there and tell me that, no, it's good for college football, and that's where I draw the line.
Well, I see that differently about the cash grab. I'm all for cash. The more money that's available in college football, the more ends up getting to the players.
Then let's play 64. Let's play 64, Trev.
What?
Let's play 64, NCAA football tournament, just like the NCAA basketball tournament.
Well, that would be a little bit silly. See, I don't mind the money. To me, the cash that you get in March Madness is a separate thing from the cash that's under the table that feeds the corruption that you're talking about, although in some ways they're related because, you know, you want to get the cash in March Madness too. But when it comes to the 12-team playoff as a cash grab, first of all, it'll put a ton more money into college football and college programs in general. And football feeds other programs, and now there will be more money available in the group of five, especially because at least one group of five team will be guaranteed to make the playoff under the current recommendations of a 12 team. They're talking about the top six highest-ranked conference champions will get an automatic berth. Well, there's only five Power Five conferences. And so that means at least one group of five conference champion will be in that top six, and that will bring a ton of money and a ton of exposure into the group of five, and I think that is good. But ultimately, I think the biggest impetus towards moving right past eight teams and going straight to 12 is the SEC. The SEC saw the 14 playoff as four at-large berths. And they thought because of the depth of conference, especially their top-tier teams,
sure,
they had a good chance to put two into the four, which they have done. If you go to an eight-team playoff with five Power Five conference champions automatic berth, you go from four at-large berths to three. If you go to a 12-team playoff, you now have six at-large berths. So the SEC wants more at-large opportunities for their top tier to get multiple teams into the playoff, and I think that was the biggest reason that they skipped eight and went to 12 in this current proposal.
I hate it, and I hear what you're saying, and I hate it. And I thought, you know, when I heard what Jamie Chatwell said about the fact that Coastal Carolina can now look recruits in the eyes and say, hey, we got a shot to play for the championship, I thought, you know, maybe I hate it less, even though I still hate it. And then you just told me that, and I hate it. I hate it. I do. I think it's ridiculous. I think a 12-team playoff. I mean, Caroline was reading through the teams, Trev, that are going to end up making it in a 12-team playoff. I don't need to see Indiana play Cincinnati in a 5-12 game. I'm sorry.
Well, does your remote still work? Because they do have reruns of Green Acres at the time that that game would have been played.
Trevor, they wouldn't even put you calling on. They wouldn't even want you a part of that game. They're like, no, 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 wait, Trevor, you don't need to do the halftime show for that game. We have you for more important games. I think the Poinsettia Bowl is coming on. We got you for that one because you definitely don't need to do Cincinnati, Ohio, or definitely Ohio State, Cincinnati, Indiana playoff game.
Yeah, but see, what you have in that scenario, Jared, is the same thing that we have now with the 14 playoff. So chances are pretty good that the same four teams that end up in the current four-team playoff will be the four teams that will end up in the final four of a 12-team playoff. Chances are pretty good that'll be the case. Mm-hmm. But it does open the opportunity for the Butlers of the world, of the football world, to be Cinderella and to get hot. I mean, Coastal Carolina last year could play with almost everybody in the country. And if they got hot and stayed healthy at the end, there's no reason they couldn't have given a big scare, if not a big upset, not just in the first round of the playoff, but in the next or even the next. And so the possibility is open, but I still think that the same teams are going to be largely the ones that will be playing in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. How do you think Nick Saban feels about this? Nick Saban hated the playoff because he thinks it knocked away the importance of winning the SEC. Now, to your point, there will be more SEC at-larges. I mean, Saban, in theory, the way that they play that schedule at Alabama, they could lose two games and still get into the playoff and still win the national title. Do you think Saban is for or against a 12-team playoff?
I think Saban should have every reason to be for it. And the reason is that, first of all, it's better for the conference. But also, it does, in a strange way, make the conference championship more valuable. And this is why. Under the current proposal, there would be four byes. So the top four highest-ranked conference champions wouldn't have to play in the first round of playoffs. That means they would have to win three games to win a national championship through the playoffs instead of four games for the next eight teams that don't get the bye. So if Alabama is playing Georgia, and let's say Bama's number two and Georgia's number four for the SEC championship game in Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. Then both of those teams, regardless of who wins, is going to make the playoff. But chances are only the winner of the SEC championship game between those two would get the first round bye. And so that makes winning the conference still very, very important.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem very college football-ish. It just doesn't. Oh, it drives me insane. Trevor Maddich is our guest. Trev, last thing for you on this 12-team playoff. Do you think there is any chance that this doesn't pass?
No, I think it will absolutely pass. I think too many teams and too many conferences benefit from it. Even the SEC benefits from it because chances are pretty good they won't get two. They'll get three in some years, you know. And so I think every conference has a reason to like this. Overall, the money is massive. And a lot of that money will go to programs that have been cutting Olympic sports, even Stanford, for goodness sake. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest overall athletic departments in the country that puts tons of Olympians into the Olympic Games, that wins championships in all kinds of sports that football fans don't even know exist, had to cut like seven or eight Olympic sports last year because of COVID. And who knows if they'll come back. This creates more money. And it helps not just the football programs, but it helps the women's fencing program. It helps the men's wrestling program that might have been cut because of Title IX, because of finances. It helps a lot of things. And for all those reasons, I do think this will pass. The only question is, will it come up in 2 years, which is what the committee, you know, with the playoff boss, Bill Hancock, has said is the earliest it could in 2023? Or will they wait until 2026 after this current CFP, college football playoff contract, expires?
Sure.
That's the only question. There is no question that they will do this kind of expansion.
Trevor Maddich, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, I'm still against it. I'm still against the 12-team playoff. This is not the NBA. This is college football. But I know that I'm getting overruled anyways. Appreciate you, Trev.
Yeah. Listen, I agree with a lot of your objections, Jared. I just like it better than four. And so that's where I stand. But I agree with you on a lot of the things that you disagree with. So it's great to talk to you, man. I'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you, Trev. Trevor Mattis, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. We are live at 615-DAY. 615-DAY is presented by Social Furniture, located in West Nashville. Come by and check out a sectional couch right here at Fordyce Center Bellevue. You can register to win a recliner. And this hour, presented by Bryant's Motorsports, BMS Off-Road has it all, from lift kits to wheels, tires, audio systems, window tinting, and more, online at bryantsmotorsports.com. We dream, we design, we build. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the company is live at Fordyce Center Bellevue, celebrating 615-DAY. That's June 15th. Today, presented by Social Furniture, located in West Nashville. Come by and check out a sectional couch right here at the Fordyce Center Bellevue. You can register to win a recliner. Why are we here? Because we're raising money for the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Donate to Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Text FUTURE to 707070. You got that?
7070 and then another 70.
Do you know what you're supposed to text to it?
FUTURE.
FUTURE to 707070. And then we've got the silent auction going on as well. You text PREDS to 76278. Items include a Pekka Rinne and Philip Forsberg signed jersey, Predators team signed stick, signed Titans photos, signed Tim Corbin, Vandy baseball memorabilia, signed Mookie Betts baseball. Surprising they didn't ask me to sign anything to auction away, but
that is
again,
shocking.
I
would throw some big dollars at a Jared Stillman signed whatever it is.
Well, we're throwing big dollars at you, so you know, I think it's all fair, one way or another. Anywho, we're joined now as we are here again. Big day for the city, but a big day for the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Joined by Jocelyn Jackson, who is the Senior Director of Resource Development, and Alan Bolden, who's a former club member and president of Club Beyond Alumni Association with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. Jocelyn, I'm going to start with you because, well, your name was first here on the First of all, thanks for having us out here today. Thanks for having us be a part of this. I know that us and the Predators got together about 615-DAY, and when I heard Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee, I was totally in. I've told people, you know, I think that for a lot of people that grew up pretty fortunately, and I think I kind of did, I think that it's always important to try to give back to those who aren't, and the Boys and Girls Club certainly focuses upon that. I think everybody knows the benefits of the Boys and Girls Club, but maybe not as specifically the benefits of the Boys and Girls Club here in Middle Tennessee.
Absolutely. So Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee has been in our community for 118 years. Right here, local. We serve 4,700 youth every year, although we want to double that to 10,000 by 2026. So you'll hear us say that all the time. Dub 100 by 2026, doubling the number of youth we serve. But we do a lot of great programming, and it's all aimed at academic enrichment, healthy lifestyles, and then good character and leadership so that our club members have everything they need to be ready for their great future. So we like to say ready to read, ready for class the next day, ready to graduate, ready for their career, and ready to serve their community.
Alan, you've been obviously involved in the Boys and Girls Club for a while in different capacities. What do you think kind of the biggest impact of the money that people donate to the Boys and Girls Club, whether it's through a silent auction with our help with the Predators and what we're doing, or, for example, you know, just a straight-up donation to the number?
707070.
Okay.
She got it.
What do you, like, how does that money help these kids?
Yeah. Well, I'll just speak from me, my experience personally. So growing up, I was labeled an at-risk youth, and when I entered the Boys and Girls Club, my parents were going through a divorce in a very unstable environment at home. And so you remember the Denzel Washington commercials or radio commercials, sure. I guess, of that's the most important time for a kid to be impacted. And a lot of bad things can happen. And so for me, that allowing a place for me to go after school and that was safe, I could explore athletics. There were games. There were study hall. There were a lot of different impacts on me in this one place after school. And so I think you're impacting kids and giving them a safe place, and that's what you're investing in. But also now it's grown to be so much more. I mean, they've got studios, they've got folks that are coming in teaching them professional, teaching them about banking, teaching them about how to buy a house, different things. They're bringing people in to teach them what it's like to experience life outside of the Boys and Girls Club, beyond high school, beyond school and things like that, that's in the community. So I think it's so much, it's so vast, it's such a big question. I could probably talk about it for 30 minutes, but it's really driving it, taking the kids that are young right now, that are potentially at risk, and making them into the next generation that we can rely on to be great.
So you talk about all those ways people can help. Jocelyn, outside of just money, what are other ways people can help the Boys and Girls Club and help the kids, as Alan put it, the at-risk kids in our society right now?
Yeah, I mean, of course, money is very helpful. It keeps our doors open.
Like, we vote money first, but if money's not the, you know.
But we also need volunteers, especially now as people are getting more vaccinated, restrictions are lifting. We are allowing a lot more people into our clubs, club members, but also volunteers. We need mentors. We need people that want to come in and help with reading, because we know that third grade reading level is so critical in making sure that you are on track to graduate from high school. So we want people, individuals, corporate groups, come on out. If you want to throw a big party, a field day, or if you want to be a regular volunteer that is that regular, strong, positive presence in a youth's life, well, hey, we really want you to come out.
What do you think kind of the biggest takeaway you had, you know, not only your experience at the Boys and Girls Club, but then maybe afterwards and seeing what it's done for others?
Well, I mean, I am really passionate about how kids are impacted and how it impacts their ability to function as adults. And so I watch directly how these kids change, how they come out of high school and they enter college, and maybe you enter in college and this is the first time you've entered into a structured environment where everybody has a common goal, whereas high school it's a free for all and kind of a wild card, and so you're entering into an unknown environment, but you have a structure that you can kind of go back on that you were brought up in the Boys and Girls Club that maybe you didn't have at home, but you at least saw something there that carried over, and that changes, you know, a culture in a child's head and in a kid's head going into college and into adulthood and a professional career.
Guys, I want to thank you all so much for letting us be a part of this, and I know that 615 Day has been something that, like, last year we really wanted to do, but obviously things were so different a year ago. And so to be out here and to see all the people out here in the parking lot at Fordyce Center here in Bellevue and what the Predators have done, you know, getting involved and what the station's been able to do, I think it's obviously, I'm a big fan of the Boys and Girls Club, but it's really cool. We're really glad to be a part of this. And now it's weird because I'm going to go complain about football. And it just doesn't seem to be as important. But, again, if you want to get in, you can text FUTURE to
707070.
There you go, 707070. And, again, the silent auction until 615 or 6:15 p.m. today. And they got a bunch of great Preds items, Titans items, Vandy, Tim Corbin, Mookie Betts, et cetera, all going on. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if I could just say, our total right now is a little over 2,000. We want to end the day at 2,615. So you can get $5, $10, get us to that 2,615.
2,615. So we're getting kind of close.
We're getting close?
Getting kind of close. Let me know how far away we are at 5:50 today. Can you do that?
I can do that.
Okay. Again, text FUTURE to 707070. And try to raise some money for the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee. Guys, thank you so much. If anybody wants to get involved other than texting that, is there any other way they can get involved?
You can go to bgcmt.org.
Say that one more time for the people at home.
bgcmt.org.
Jocelyn, Allen, thank you guys so much. And thanks for, again, having us out here as part of 615 Day. It's not just Nashville's birthday, but it's a day to help out those in Nashville. Because, again, we're all one community. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. This hour of 615 Day, presented by Brian Motorsports. BMS Off-Road has it all, from lift kits to wheels, tires, audio systems, video, window tinting, and more. Online at briansmotorsports.com. We dream, we design, we build. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.